You are listening to the Wells Tech Podcast, where we talk about technology that can serve the church and its work of spreading the gospel. Wells Tech is a part of the Podcast Network on Streams, the internet media site sponsored by the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Join the conversation by visiting our podcast website at wellstech.wells.net. You're listening to the Wells Tech Podcast for Wednesday, May 25th, 2011. This is episode 185, Summer Vacations. Hello again, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with the Wells Tech Podcast. I am your regular host, and we have two lovely ladies joining us for Classroom Technology. Maybe I could call it Classroom Technology Tuesday. We do record this on a Tuesday, actually Tuesday afternoon today. And as usual, Sally Draper right alongside in Sleepy Eye. Good morning, or actually, good afternoon, Sally. We're all discombobulated here
today. Yeah, we
today.
Don't usually get to say that. We're happy to join you again today, and happy to have Gail Potras from Emmanuel in New London, Wisconsin, joining us as well. Hi, Gail.
Hi, nice to be here today, this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Gail.
Yes.
And the sun is shining, and we have a ton of stuff to talk about. Our regular listeners know that whenever Gail joins us, that means we're going to be talking about classroom stuff, and specifically stuff related to the teaching ministry. And because we're coming up on summer, we thought, hey, this is a good show to dedicate to planning for your summer vacation. Not that you're going to visit Carlsbad Caverns or Miami
Mackinac
Beach
Island.
Or Mackinac Island or wherever, but that there's plenty of learning opportunities over the course of the summer. Things slow down a little bit, obviously, in the classroom, and you have some opportunity to do a little planning, and we are going to talk about maybe some suggestions, some tools, some things that we're going to be doing, and maybe hopefully that will inspire you to kind of get out your planner and figure out, what am I going to do the next 3 months? So where do we start, ladies?
Well, okay. I was listening to your itinerary there, Martin, and thinking maybe I should ditch my plan and go ahead and visit some of those places.
But the good news about technology is you can bring those along too.
That's right. Well, we just thought, at least it's true for me, when summertime comes, and this is our last week of school at Emmanuel, so it's crazy time. And once the school year is over, there are so many things that you plan to do during the summer mm-hmm. that you think about all year and think, oh, this would be a good summer thing to do. If you don't actually sit on them, for me at least, write them down and figure out a plan, I often end up accomplishing less than I want to. So I talked with Sally and I said, well, let's get a jump on things. Instead of talking about how I spent my summer vacation, let's talk about how I'm planning to spend mm-hmm. my summer vacation. And so that's what we're going to do today. So we started out talking about how we're going to do that. First, we thought, well, how are we going to beef up our personal learning networks that we have?
And maybe just a word of description about what those are.
Well, any way that you learn things, your personal learning network can be Facebook, it could be Twitter, it can be the blogs that you read, it can be books that you read, people you talk to, any way that you seek to learn more about your area of passion, I guess I'll say.
Or even responsibility.
Yes, and hopefully those go together.
Right. Yeah, that is true.
So I started off by Twitter and looking at Twitter. And I actually use Twitter a lot, probably less than I did for a while. And I think one of the reasons is because I have a long feed of names and of people that I follow. And I need to go through that feed and weed some people out of there that I really don't glean that much from, and clean my Twitter feed up a little. We included some links of some possible lists for people who are just starting and looking for lists and names of good people to follow. But after a while, it becomes apparent that you need to clean out. So that's my first goal, is I'm going to clean up my Twitter feed so that I do use it more and use it more productively.
There are lists devoted to just people tweeting about teaching resources and teaching approaches and methodologies out there. And those are incredibly helpful because you don't have to kind of figure out who in the world to follow that's saying something or sharing something that's helpful for me. Other people have somewhat curated a list that kind of has the best of the best.
Right.
And I think that's a really great way to get started. If you aren't a Twitter user currently, you know, even if you're on the other side of things and haven't delved into Twitter at all, you don't have to do a lot of cleanup because you have nothing to follow, and it's really hard to kind of figure out where to start. But if you start by following a list of shining stars in the educational technology realm or in your specific subject area, I think very quickly you're going to see the power of Twitter. I think we'd probably all agree that we have definitely gleaned some really valuable resources from our Twitter feeds. That's
right.
And I'm
really happy to see that there's more and more Wells and other Lutheran educational institutions that are represented out there and that I like to include in my feed because, you know, we really speak the same language in many ways that the general Twitterer out there wouldn't maybe quite understand. So it's I'm happy to see that, and there's a lot of good people out there to include in our lists.
So I guess the long and the short of it is that Twitter doesn't necessarily have to be this narcissistic, you know, what am I doing, what am I eating, where am I going? It can be a great learning tool where people are actually using it as a communications tool and a sharing tool, a networking tool for some of these valuable tips and resources that are out there.
I bet I get 50% of new Web 2.0 technologies that come out there come across my Twitter feed first.
I believe that. Yep, absolutely.
And Gail, we thank you. You've shared a couple of links with us, and we will definitely have them in the show notes, not just of Twitter lists, but also if you're a teacher and you want to get started with Twitter, there's wikis out there dedicated to it that explain the whole process and handbooks and different things. So we'll make sure and include those in the show notes.
Then we should probably move on to one of my favorite tools for learning, and that's RSS. And I don't know where I would be without Google Reader. I would say half of the things that I share on this show come from the RSS feeds that I've collected over the years now. And tools like Google Reader make that very easy. That's kind of my built-in PLN. I go there when I want to get a sense for what's going on in the industry. And it is a real powerful tool if you kind of collect the right RSS feeds, similar to what you're doing with Twitter, except these are complete articles and links and videos and everything can come into that RSS feed.
So, and that's another thing that I'm going to clean out this summer.
What's that, Sally?
Sorry, we were talking on top of each other. Primarily through blog links. That's
right.
What you're going to feed your RSS reader with. And for those that aren't doing RSS, we have a page on our Wells Tech Wiki dedicated to getting you started with Google Reader. And it's really simple to do, and I think you'll see the payoff really quickly. Gail, you kind of issued a challenge that you wanted to add at least one new blog to your Google Reader. Mm-hmm. And have you zeroed in on a particular blog you're going to start reading this summer?
I do. I have chosen Tom Barrett kind of redid his blog recently. It's called EdTech, but it's EDTE.ch.
Then he has /blog, but I think if you just go to EdTech, it'll get you there.
Right. And so kind of a weird spelling of it. But, and I was interested in his because he had a very timely article that he talked about there saying that maybe one-on-one computing isn't so great. Maybe one device per four people is really the way to go. And so he shared an article there that was kind of stuff I'm looking for right now because most of what you read is really promoting the one-to-one. So I'm always looking for articles that are trying to give a balance there. So that attracted me to it, and I'm going to continue to read his blog, but I'm also going to, there again, go through my RSS feeder and all the many things that I have not read that are in there, and also just think to myself, how many of these blogs am I not reading? Should I just get rid of some? Because honestly, I get overwhelmed. If there's too much there, I don't even want to go there and look at it. Mm-hmm. So I need to pare down
to make
this useful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like lots of house cleaning going on at your place this summer, Gail.
Yep.
One thing you're going to add to the mix, and I think it's a great suggestion, is to have a reading list. Some good books in your book bag as you're sitting on the beach, wherever that may be. That also add to your professional development. And I was fortunate to download a free copy of Netcasters. It's a internet evangelism kind of book. I'm not real familiar with the slant it might have, so I'm really curious to see if it has some new ideas that can be a benefit to us here on the podcast. So that's on my summer reading list, and it's actually available for free through the end of this month. So if you haven't got a copy of it and you want to go on over to the Internet Evangelism Day ebook page, you can grab a copy yourself and read along with me if you want. What about you guys? What kind of reading are you planning for this summer?
Gail, you have something on your list?
I do. I have three, actually, books that I have written down, and I'll summarize them just by saying that they all have to do with 2.0 technologies, but also very heavy into connecting them with teaching strategies and teaching philosophies. One I'm really anxious to start is called Teaching the I Generation. It's by William Frericher, who I'm really not familiar with. It's a book through the ISTE Society, and the attraction for me there is he's going to talk about how we can really use technology to inspire students and to get more higher order thinking from students, but we can only really do that when we understand what good teaching is. And I will include myself in this. I think that's something we always have to be aware of. It's so easy to get enthralled with the coolness of the tools that we should always be saying, this is what I want to get across, this is what I want to make happen. Now, what tools are here that are going to help me do that, rather than, what can I teach that I can use this cool tool with?
Right.
And I'm guilty of that, so I'm going to do some reading that really addresses that issue more.
Yep.
And that's one of the three. I'll just mention one.
And I just have one right now, although I've got a couple others in mind. And this one I think I've mentioned before. It's by the same author of The Hidden Power of Electronic Culture that Sally and I reviewed way back when, one of Sally's favorite reads.
Mm-hmm.
This one is by the same author, Shane Hipps, called Flickering Pixels. This is kind of a slimmed-down version, similar content, a little bit different take. I've got that on the Kindle, and I'll be lugging that along to on vacation, hopefully. It's a pretty short read, so that is about really the same concept of making sure you understand the power of the medium that you're using, that it's not a neutral source. So I'm looking forward to that. Then we should probably go on to another category that we've entitled Professional Workshops. Summer is sometimes always or almost always the best time to grab some of those, where you don't have the day-to-day responsibilities. You can carve out a little bit of time. Maybe you can combine it with a vacation. And there's a bunch of them out there. We already mentioned ISTE. ISTE 2011 is this summer, correct?
Yep, happening in Philadelphia at the end of June. And that's the big educational technology conference.
I'd love to go to that one year, but I don't think I'm going to get out there this year.
But, yeah, you can follow it online, though, and there will be a ton of tweets and blog posts and things all throughout the week. So
even
if you aren't there in person, you can get a really good feel for the breaking news from ISTE.
Do they videotape any of the sessions? I wonder if
I'm guessing that they do.
A lot of the conferences are doing that now. That'd be great. And then one, Gail, that you're involved with, MDMC 2011.
Right. I've mentioned this one before. I could still make one more pitch for this. This is our four-day hands-on collaborative workshop that we hold in Milwaukee each summer. And this summer, July 26th to 29th at the Milwaukee Art Museum, which is a very cool place to be working for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to actually be this year doing the groups will be designing materials that will be used in the educational program at the museum. So we're kind of designing I'll say lesson plans, but they're basically lesson plans, a pre-activity, an activity, and a post-activity around the content in various tours that they give at the museum for students of all ages.
So, art-related, basically,
yeah.
Right?
Well, art is the subject, right? Mm-hmm. But then, you know, of course, our goal is we learn all about the tools we can use to do this. So
sure.
It's pretty cool, and the neat thing is that they actually do use our stuff. You really do feel a sense of community, like you've contributed to, you know, people will come and they'll use your stuff to learn about the art there. So
yep.
It's kind of neat.
And there's still room for that? Still room
there
for people?
There is still room for that. We could put a link to the
and
in the show notes
the
to that. You can still sign up. We do still have room.
What's the cost for that? Do you remember?
Oh, I'm going to say it's about $300.
Yeah, I was going to say
it's graduated.
Like
you know,
that.
The sooner you sign up, the
right.
cheaper it is, and it's getting kind of late, so it's usually more. You can take this for credit as well, so it's, you don't have to, but you can get credits for your
sure.
work here, too. So.
And then we'd be remiss if we did not mention, again, the final web classes that Sally and I are teaching. Sally, you up in New Ulm in June. We have one for teachers and in a 3-day for what we call our dummies class, which is far from, because you come out of that with just a ton of hands-on experience. This is all hands-on, so you're essentially working on your website, and you come out with a lot better looking website and a lot better comfort level with how to manage that. So that's, Sally, remind me of your dates. That's June, last week in June?
June 27th through 30th.
Right.
At MLC.
And I'm the first week in August, just after Synod Convention. And we have, in the show notes, we'll have links to how to sign up for those.
Absolutely. Also going on our Wells College campuses, Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary is hosting Summer Quarter. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's still room to get in on some of those classes. We'll have a link to that in the show notes.
I am teaching one of those classes again this year. So if you are in need of a productivity boost, that is my class, Mind Like Water, a productivity system for shepherds. So that's for pastors and teachers and lay people if they want to get involved with that. It's a, I think it's a 2-hour a day course for 1 week. So it's not a huge commitment. It's in the morning, and I know there still is room in the class that I'm teaching there. So,
and then finally, we'll mention Martin Luther College is. Got a full gamut of courses available through their continuing ed program mm-hmm. as well. And Gail and I are both on the docket to teach there this summer. I'm teaching 2 different 1-hour classes online, and Gail's teaching one as well.
So what are you teaching?
Covering, webpage design and church and school websites, and Gail's doing digital utilities for teachers. Sounds like it's right up her alley.
Cool.
Yep. Yep.
And these are all online.
Yeah, those 3 in
yes,
particular
are.
Some of the MLC classes are actually face-to-face classes, so just check out the schedule and see what interests you.
Okay. Well, what else do we have for summer vacation activities then?
Well, last on our list is to beef up our personal web presence. And all 3 of us actually have different blogs and things that we maintain. And so maybe a little house cleaning there and revamping of what our goals are for our websites. I know, Gail, you have one that's dedicated to communication with your school activities, the what's going on here for Emmanuel.
Right. I do a weekly one that's just what's going on here, excellence at Emmanuel. I try to feature excellent lessons, excellent, you know, whatever happens that's really a neat thing. There's all kinds of things, and sometimes they're just reflections on things too, but aimed at the school and just reminding us of what God has given us and blessed us with during the year. I think it's, you know, it's important to note those things so people can reflect on them and appreciate them. And give God the glory for what he's allowed us to do.
Right.
Now I'm looking forward to the fact that I just wrote my last one yesterday for the year, because I don't do that in the summer. So hoping to turn my attention to my random thoughts, which is my other WordPress blog, that's my personal blog, but is very, 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 very sparse and
very random.
So I'm hoping to really think I can do a weekly thing, but I'm beginning to think that's kind of not going to happen. But yeah. I'm gonna try to at least make it every other week.
Okay.
There you go.
Speaking of weekly, Sally, that's one of our initiatives for the summer.
Well, actually, for the whole year, Martin, if people have been paying attention, we kind of committed early in the year to being weekly bloggers, and I think for the most part, you and I have stayed on track with that.
I think I've missed one, yeah.
A few gaps here and there, but we're going to take it to a whole new level this summer and maybe give our listeners a little preview right now that we've decided to launch a series this summer that we're going to call Wells Hacker, and we're going to incorporate both of our personal blogs, martinspriggs.com and sallydraper.com. We'll be sharing our own little hacks on technology on those blogs and then discussing them on our weekly podcast.
So that'll make up kind of the summer program, as you will, or, you know, if you will, trying to figure out what's going to be useful. And hopefully, you know, you and I can both figure out what's going to make a difference for our listeners, as opposed to just something we think is cool, but something that is help to ministry. So that's our challenge,
is
to figure out what those things are. Yes. So if you have ideas, about what topics you'd like us to cover within reason, we'd love to hear them. So.
If they're hard, you get to cover them.
That's you beat me to that line.
Full disclaimer.
Yes. All right, let's move on to ministry resources.
Yeah, we have a couple of news items to share that would be of interest in the ministry setting. One is that our friends at GLOW are back in the news again. GLOW Bible released recently for Mac and also for iPad, and now they have announced that GLOW for iPhone is available. iPod Touch is covered as well. So if you're looking for a new Bible app to load up on your mobile device, then you may want to check out the GLOW Bible for iPhone.
Did you download it? Okay.
And you get your Bible and your media lens. You don't get all the lenses that are part of the GLOW software.
Same with the iPad, same deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And obviously you have to be connected to the internet because they're going to bring all that media down to you by your internet connection for the most part.
So how usable is it on the small screen?
It is a little bit of a challenge, especially if you have my eyes, which don't do well on small screens. But certainly you can bring up the NIV text on there and see that very clearly, and then you know, go to some of the media resources as well.
Okay, good. Check that out.
One more announcement that we were tuned into via Pastor Steve Daly, who left us a Digo link on our Wells Tech group, and that is that the Bible Gateway site is going through a major redesign, and you can actually go to the link of their beta kind of a little preview, lifting the curtain a little bit on their new design if you want to check that out. They have an overview video so you can see what some of the main points are. I think they've just made it a lot more intuitive, clean interface.
Yeah, it's a little cleaner, I've noticed that.
And so, check out BibleGateway.com, which is a great place to look up Bible verses by text or by keyword or whatever.
Yeah, the link is new.BibleGateway.com to get right to the beta site and get a look at the new stuff. So I like it.
Yep.
Shall we move on to picks of the week? I'm hearing chirps.
Sure.
I know you all have one. So, Gail, what have you got for us today?
I have been looking around for, since we do use Inspiration on our computers here at school.
It's a mind mapping application.
But we do so much online, and we're online already, that a lot of times we just had been using my web Inspiration, which was really very similar to Inspiration and very cool and had templates and everything. That has since become a pay-for product as of this last, like, March or so. So looking around for something else to do some graphing, graphic organizing, mind mapping, that kind of thing, and came across what I think is new. I think it's still even in beta. It's called SpiderScribe. SpiderScribe.net. So check that one out. It is not as nice as my Webspiration. It does not have templates I'm always looking for, like in language arts, I use a lot of story mapping things and story elements and that. You'd have to create your own, but you could do it, but they don't have the templates here. But I think it's one step up from maybe Mindomo, which has been around for a lot of years and a lot of people still use. This has the SpiderScribe, of course, has the collaborative sharing aspect with it as well. But it's kind of nice. You can make a mind map and you can include photos, internet sites, text, just by dragging their little container onto the screen. You can put in it what you want. The neat thing is they have one for maps. So I did a little promo for the actually MDMC conference and tweeted that out to everybody on SpiderScribe. And when I pulled up the map container, all I had to do was type in. It's all hooked up to Google. And so you just type in, like I typed in the name of the place it was being held, came up with a map of and located the Milwaukee Public Museum and the Art Museum. You know, it's just right there for you. And then I just hooked up a picture I had of it to that. So very, very easy to use and quickly produce something to send out and share with people.
Interesting. This thing is brand new. Like May 13th is their first blog post. So you know, truly in beta. I wonder if they'll ultimately charge for that. But it looks like a very nice, pleasing interface. I'm going to give that a try. Sally?
My turn, and I'm going to point people to an iPad-oriented pick.
Imagine
believe it or
that.
Not.
Yeah.
My little world's been revolved around the iPad for the last week and a half since it's arrived from China. And one thing that I've found that's useful is iPad Today, which is a video podcast part of the TWIT network. TWIT is This Week in Tech. It's Leo Laporte's brainchild, and there are a whole variety of podcasts and video podcasts that are part of their offerings there on TWIT. This one in particular is a weekly podcast where Leo Laporte partners with Sarah Lane. And what's neat about it is it's video. It looks really good on an iPad, and you can actually watch them interacting with iPad apps over the course of the podcast. So one of the things that is kind of hard to do when you have a new device like this is decide which apps you need, which are going to be the most useful for you, which you know, fit your needs the best. And even though they give good descriptions and you can read other people's reviews of them and look at screenshots, there's really something to be said of watching video and actually seeing them demonstrated and seeing people discuss what the best qualities are of them and what shortcomings they have. And I've found this to be really useful and entertaining as well. So if you're an iPad person, you may want to check out iPad Today Video Podcast.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've watched that a few times. And what I like about it is that they not only demo, you know, the different apps that are available in a category, but again, talk about the potential uses for different kinds of tasks. So it's not just, boy, this is cool. It's, you know, this has some usefulness. And they don't work for any of the companies, obviously, so they're fairly unbiased in their review of them. So, yeah, I found that to be real helpful. Good pick.
All right.
My pick is actually a rerun, sort of. It's a product from LiveScribe. If you might recall that LiveScribe is a digital pen that allows you to use regular ink on computer paper. It's a paper that is specially printed for the LiveScribe pen, and basically allows you to write on it and then transfer the written page onto your computer in an electronic file. In addition, the pens have a recording device, so you can actually record, you know, a lecture or a meeting or whatever, and it will attach that recording to the different areas on the page that you happen to be writing at the time that the audio was being recorded by the pen. So it's a very cool technology, and I've been using it off and on for the last couple years. The reason that I'm picking it again is they recently came out with an update to it called their Connect or Smart Pen Connect update, which allows you to save the contents of the pen, basically these written pages and audio files, to different sources. It only used to work with your desktop, and then you could upload a few files to their My LiveScribe website, which is limited to about 500 megabytes, and some of these audio files can get pretty large. Now with this update, you can connect those documents to Facebook, Evernote, Google Docs. You can send them via email or write to a local file folder on your desktop. They used to kind of be encased in the application where you couldn't really do much with them. You couldn't get them out. You couldn't share them, etc. This upgrade really makes it a lot more useful for me, where I can store these wherever I want. I could put them on our SharePoint server. I can put them on Google Docs and use all the space that I have there. And just a nice upgrade to this makes it a lot more useful. So,
okay, so I'm not really getting, is it a firmware upgrade for the actual pen product?
Yes.
Is it a subscription thing?
The pen actually has apps on it, and this is an app that goes on the pen that allows it to communicate with these services. It still has to be docked to your computer to do this, so it doesn't have it's not internet capable. I would assume at some point it will be, but right now you have to dock it to your computer. But with the app on the pen, installed on the pen, then it can save these things out. So
you didn't have to go buy a new pen to get this upgrade.
You have to buy, if you have an older pen like I do, the 1 gigabyte Pulse pen, you have to pay $15 for the update, but it's well worth it. Anything of the newer ones, the Echo pens or the larger Pulse pens, I think it comes free, or you can get it for free. So,
sounds like $15 well spent.
For me, it's a nice productivity tool.
Very good.
Let's move on to our community feedback, Sally.
Well, people are talking about the Apple show. You may remember that last week we were joined by Aaron Spriggs and Bob Martins, and we had an Apple Day here on Wells Tech, and we heard a lot of good feedback from that. First up, we heard from Marin McPeak, who is at St. Mark in Citrus Heights, California, and she shared her favorite iPad app. It's called AirSketch. And basically, it communicates wirelessly with a computer on your wireless network and allows you to draw on your iPad and have it show up on that computer, which ultimately could be connected to a projector.
Right.
So you could be using your iPad basically as a whiteboard.
Could roam the class and be drawing from the back of the room, and then it would appear in the front of the screen.
Sharing it with others, too. Yep. So lots of potential there. She said it works great with her Pogo stylus. And later in the week, Marin tweeted again that people were actually capturing the iPad on the computer in screencast-type videos. Mm. So you could use your iPad to create videos. So lots of potential there with AirSketch. So we thank you, Marin, for sharing that pick with
us. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Smart, and Gail, maybe you can help me with this. I think Smart has a product like that, a tablet product that works with the computer to allow that to happen. Is that right? Does that ring a bell?
I can't speak to that.
I think they do, it's pretty expensive.
I'm thinking of the product called, and I won't be able to think of the name of it. It's like a smart board. It doesn't really work with a smart board, but it's like a smaller version of the smart board that
works. It works with the software.
Well, it does work with the computer. You're right.
But this sounds like definitely a viable alternative. Does this work only with Mac, Sally?
No, it was with any computer on your network.
Cool.
So it's
cool.
Just wireless functionality.
Thanks, Marin. That's a great tip.
I just am amazed at the versatility of the iPad and Apple products in that way. So
yep. Great,
exciting
great
to
teaching
hear.
Tool.
Philip Wells, who's a member at St. Paul's in New Ulm, Minnesota, wrote to us and told us that he was an AppleCare fanboy. We talked about AppleCare and the wonderful support that they offer through that product. And he said, first off, he strongly encourages AppleCare, but he doesn't want to imply that Apple products are not built well. So there's the disclaimer there. But he did get an iMac a few years ago, and it had trouble powering up right after he purchased it, and turned it off one day, and it just would not start up. So he took it in, they replaced the power supply, and then the motherboard, and didn't cost him a penny. So that was a good experience. And then he said 2 years later, just a few weeks ago, the graphics card went nuts, and he had it replaced at no cost. So he's rarely had problems with his Mac, but in those two times, they've been pretty big problems for him, and Apple's just taken care of it very well with AppleCare.
My wife has had 3 hard drives replaced on the same laptop thanks to AppleCare. So it was a known issue with those white MacBooks, and this one, we've got our fingers crossed. Now we're well beyond AppleCare with it, but it seems to be humming along nicely. But yeah, I would agree. AppleCare is definitely worth it.
And finally, with the Apple theme, we heard from Dave Voss and his daughter, Amanda. And Dave was listening to the podcast, and he shared it with Amanda, who happens to be a 15-year veteran senior programmer for our friends at Apple. So we made a Wells connection to Apple, and that was really exciting.
Yep. And who knew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she is out there in San Jose, California, a member of Apostles, and she just wrote to us briefly and said if there was any way she could help out to let her know. So
nice.
Thanks for that, guys.
Our next Apple show will definitely have to have Amanda on.
Definitely. All right. We had a few Digo links to share. Martin, you found a really cool blog post that compared all different kinds of word clouds.
Yeah, actually, I didn't find it. My loving wife did, and she's passing these along to me, and I steal them and share them on the show, which still doesn't make her listen, but but we benefit. Yes, we benefit.
Absolutely.
It's a little word. We all know what Wordle is and does. In fact, for my birthday last month, I was given one of those word clouds of the Bible. So we've got that framed in the living room now. I forget what it was called. Word Bible cloud, whatever it was.
66.
Cloud 66. Yeah, that's what it was.
But
this is
nice.
Yeah, this is a whole blog post on different kinds of word cloud applications, and they all kind of handle a little bit different way. Some of them are mosaics. Some of them allow a little more customization. They all look. They kind of all do it in their own little way, and they have their own little tweaks to it. So it's and then there's a nice chart at the bottom that compares all of the Wordle, you know, lookalikes, these word cloud creation tools and what they're good at. So if you are into that or maybe find a use for that, I would assume there's some educational value in using these. And
yeah, definitely.
There's a good chart there that shows you what they can do, whether they can use phrases or not, whether you can save it, whether you can select the fonts or color schemes. Can you configure the shape of the cloud? Can you make it into, you know, a different shape? A nice little blog post if you're interested in checking out what all these word cloud tools can do.
Actually,
just
it sounds
kids
like
use those today. In fact,
The
digital story using Animoto, but one of their requirements was they had to make one of their slides had to be done with the story we read and create one of the word clouds.
Nice.
And most people used Wordle. But some did use the newest one we've been using is TextEagle.
Yeah, that's on this list, yep.
And that is cool because then you can make shapes. Like the book we read was about Africa, so there was a lot of Africa with the selected groups of words in the shape of the continent.
Yep.
So pretty neat.
It is.
Sounds like a good summer project. If there's a teacher out there that's listening that hasn't made use of word clouds, this would be a good one to recommend, and maybe starting with this blog post is the way to go.
So our thanks to Debbie.
Absolutely. Next up, we heard from Jason Schmidt. He shared a couple of links with the Digo group. One is to a wiki all about VoiceThread in education. So again, if you haven't made use of VoiceThread, which is a way of recording or including images and graphics and things, and then recording comments around those, a really good classroom presentation kind of tool. You might want to check out this wiki and get some tips for getting started with VoiceThread in education. And then the other link that Jason shared was to Wonderopolis. I love that name.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderopolis is kind of a a cool tip of the day kind of website. Today's tip is about why was Morse code invented? And so it has a whole article about Morse code and the history of how it got started and everything. So you never know what you're going to find, what the wonder of the day will be, mm-hmm. but check out Wonderopolis, maybe something good to use with your classroom as well.
Sally, there was a website that you shared a while back that was kind of a factoid of the day kind of thing.
I think you're thinking of a Google a day.
Yeah, it was.
GoogleAday.com.
That's
and boy,
what it was.
I've been enjoying that one.
You're still like using that.
Yeah, they give you a little question, and you can do some searching and hopefully find the answer to it.
And impress your friends and family with some,
that's
some
right.
of that.
Some useful
knowledge,
kinda.
Yes.
Absolutely. Shifting gears to Facebook a little bit, we heard from Adam Valesky, who's a member of Christ in Juneau, Alaska. And Adam had written to us a few weeks ago saying he was trying to set up some location-based application deals for their Facebook page there at Christ. And he was able to get one approved. And basically the deal is if you check in at their church, you get a free gift of hearing God's word with every visit. And so it's just kind of a fun way to encourage people to check in and use the location-based services that go along with Facebook. And he was excited to see that that got approved. And also Christ Lutheran in Lodi, California has a deal giving away the Road to Emmaus DVD video if you check in at their church. So some very creative uses of Facebook and their location-based services.
Very nice. And I notice on our list here is my lovely wife again coming through with a actually very cool set of tools. This is from snacktools.com. I almost had this as my pick, but I haven't really got much experience with these, so just want to share the site. Snacktools.com has a bunch of, essentially, they're Flash creation tools. And, well, maybe I shouldn't say Flash. They are very graphically oriented. They may or may not be Flash. But basically, there's six tools. Banner Snack, Pod Snack, Photo Snack, Tube Snack, Quiz Snack, Flip Snack. And the one she was particularly enamored with was Flip Snack, which allows you to take a PDF and make it into one of those, if you've seen the page turn feature in, well, it's on the iPad, the iBook mm-hmm. app, where you flip the page and it's got the, you know, the page turn feature. Although this one gives you the whole fold, too, and it lays it out in kind of a 3D format where your one-dimensional PDF becomes a kind of a two-dimensional experience, and you can flip through the pages, and this does it automatically. All the others do similarly cool things, like there's a nice banner maker. So if you want a banner on your website across the top or down the side, it'll actually create these for you based on your specifications, width, image size, the image you might want to upload, the text, bullets, etc. The Pod Snack one creates custom web audio players. Tube Snack, custom video players and playlists. Photo slideshow shows, online surveys. Worth a look. Now, for free, there are some limitations. You can embed them on your site. This is how these all work with embed code. But there is a watermark from Snack Tools, so they're getting their pound of flesh that way. But you can also purchase one of your creations. I think they have a points system, and the way I looked at some of these, it was like $7 or $8, you know, for your creation to be all yours, get rid of it. Or there's a subscription. That a monthly subscription that if you're doing a lot of these might make sense so that you can post these on your site without the watermark itself. So I thought it was pretty cool.
I love how you can mash up just about anything these days and put all kinds of cool content on your website. So
yep.
Opens up the door to lots of creativity there.
Mm-hmm.
One more community feedback, and we'll be all done for today. And it's from Kevin Smith, who's at Christ in Zumbrota, Minnesota. And Kevin apparently listens to TWIT podcast as well. He was listening to the TWIT podcast called Windows Weekly and heard mention of the Windows Multipoint Server. Mm-hmm. And this is a Microsoft product, which just looking quickly at the website, what I got from it was you can buy one computer and 4 to 6 students can share that computer. Great. And have different sessions at the same time. Cuts down on the amount of hardware you have to have, and obviously cuts down on the overhead, the cost of your hardware. And it seems like a really positive tool. They've got some demo videos and testimonial kind of things from, particularly from different school districts that are making use of it. And Kevin thought it might be a very positive way to implement stewardship in your school to use this kind of product. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to share that with our listeners.
I don't know if it was on this show or whether I blogged about it, but a couple years ago this was out in beta, and they were pushing the concept of this, and I mentioned it. I don't know if it was the same name or not, but I had a similar reaction then, and it sounds like it's ready for release at this point. And I think there is some real value in this. It's kind of like the terminal server concept. I know some of our schools tried to create do this with Linux. Mm-hmm. And create that experience that way. The problem with that, and then you have thin clients or cheap computers, basically running on the student end. The problem with that was that at that point there wasn't a lot of educational software out there for the Linux environment. This kind of removes all that, and basically anything you can do on a Windows machine, you can do on this, and then you're just buying that one beefy server versus the and maintaining the 6-10 desktops or whatever. I think there's some potential here. Thank you for the tip, Kevin.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to stop with community feedback now, Mark.
Okay, plenty. But we'd love to hear yours. If you have something to share with us, there are many ways to do so. Go to the show notes website, wellstech.wells.net. Make a comment there. You can email us, of course, wellstech@wells.net. We would love to have a voicemail. We're starved for voicemails. 405 for Wells. That's 405-367-9357. Love to hear your voices on the Wells Tech Podcast, because this show is for you. And we are on Twitter, @WellsTech, if you are too and want to share something that way. Facebook, Digo, Listserv, the list goes on and on. There are no excuses, Sally, for somebody not being able to contribute to the show.
No, and I love how we have new names coming and contributing each week.
Each week,
we heard from several new people today, so that's great. Nice.
Next week, we've got a big launch, hopefully. Qualifying that, we are relaunching shopwells.net. We've been working hard over the last month or so to line up and get straight all of our vendors and redo the website, so it'll have a new look. We're putting together a newsletter that all congregations and schools should be getting here in the next month, and I'm excited about it. We've added some vendors. Xerox is a new vendor. I mentioned we've been talking to Apple, although that relationship has not been formalized yet. We added AT&T to our cellular providers. So lots of stuff to talk about next week. So tune in next week. And we also hope to have Tim Plath from Minnesota Valley Lutheran, Area Lutheran High School, out in your neck of the woods, Sally, where your oldest goes. And we're going to talk about Area Lutheran High School's Online, which is a new website and a new distance learning concept within the Area Lutheran High School system. So look forward to that.
Exciting stuff.
Yep. Let's close the music with the show of Mike Wessendorf. Let's close the show with the music of Mike Wessendorf, a friend of the show. I just saw him the other night. We visited worship down at the Point of Grace where he was singing. And his song, Coming Soon. Thought this would kind of be an appropriate way to close the show, since we all survived. Maybe survived isn't the right word. Whatever it was supposed to be last Saturday, the Lord's return, The Lord chose not to come when people expect it. Imagine that. And this song actually talks about him coming soon. Just because he didn't come Saturday doesn't mean he won't come tonight. So that's what the song's about from his album Undefined. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks, Gail. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Talk to everybody later.
Soon, the darkness will.